Today is Valentine's Day. Much of the time we think of it as the commercially promoted holiday with emphasis on cards and gifts and chocolates and flowers. That's not mean to say I don't like the chocolates. The card and jewelry companies would have us believe that we are supposed to give something tangible to prove our love for our partner. Wait a minute. Was that part of the deal? What does it mean if choice or circumstance or finances prevent us from doing that? I hope we all know that resisting advertising is part of ordinary modern life these days. I wonder, though, how many couples actually talk about what they want to do to mark Valentine's Day or any other day like it, or even if they wish to. Or do we not talk about it and then find ourselves vaguely unhappy about what happened or didn't? What is the deal? The deal is what we promise each other when we marry. It's a covenant, what UU author and minister Alice Blair Wesley defines as a promise to walk together in the ways of love, a promise which cannot be tightly prescribed. When I talk with couples preparing their wedding ceremony, I like to ask them, what are you promising each other? Like in our story, a promise is a promise. Everything goes back to those promises you make. It's the foundation for everything else. It's amazing how hard this is to answer. I tell the couples to go home and talk about it. Don't have to do it in front of me. I'm never sure how well these conversations go, whether they even go at all. But some couples do indeed write down something that they will use as vows, that they will say to each other. Others use something that's already written. Marriage vows do approximate our promises that we make to each other. A traditional version reads, I take you to be my wife or husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. This is my solemn vow. Seems a little vague, even if the words are probably pretty familiar. Here's one contemporary version that's got a few more details. I promise to be your lover, companion, and friend, your partner in parenthood, your ally in conflict. Didn't say your opposite in conflict. Your greatest fan and your toughest adversary, your comrade in adventure, your student and your teacher, your consolation in disappointment, your accomplice in mischief, your strength in your need and vulnerable to you in my own, and most of all, your associate in the search for enlightenment. Well, the devil is in the details, as they say. It can be tough when to be a fan and when to be an adversary, when to be a teacher and when to back off, when to be a comrade and when to be a coach. Another covenant we enter into with perhaps even less understanding is the one around membership in this congregation, Beacon Unitarian Church. We don't talk about it nearly as much as the bride and groom talk about their wedding preparations. But 27 years ago, not today, but 27 years ago in a few days, this community gathered specifically as a congregation, one that would walk together in love. At each new member recognition ceremony, I tell people that becoming a member is both easy and hard. It's easy enough to sign the membership book, but it's hard because what are you signing up for? It's complex. The meaning of covenant, that promise to walk together in the ways of love, is an old one. It comes from biblical days when people gathered together under a stronger warlord for protection from marauding raiders. It wasn't usually voluntary. But today we do gather voluntarily to walk together in our faith. Not a faith that says, this is what we believe, but one that says, we want to live together well. A commonly used affirmation of covenant is number 473. Yes, turn your open your hymnal. We're going to read it together. Read with me. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Many congregations recite this covenant, or one similar, you can see there's several around there, each week, hoping to remind each other every week of our highest aspirations of how to live together. We do sometimes are asked, what do Unitarians believe? That, of course, is not the question that defines us. What does define us is our sometimes naive but steadfast understanding of the goodness of people. It is true, some people are not so good. Even some people don't even try to pass themselves off as good. But confidence and trust in each other as we accompany each other through life, despite disputes and betrayals, real or perceived, carry us through the darker days. Faith is a trust in the future, a vision of what we as a community might someday be, if we work together, that is, and not to cross purposes. If we treat each other as we would really like to be treated ourselves, let's give feedback in constructive and open ways, not secretive and hurtful ways. Let's remember to say please and thank you and you are welcome. Let's really listen to each other's ideas, especially the ideas from the new people. They might be new ideas, and help them put them into practice instead of ignoring them to death. This is the promise we make to each other, that we will live together as best we can do. Today, let us treat each other with the honesty, respect, and kindness that we would want to receive. Let us model for each other the kind of people we want to see around us. It's true, we break our promises. We do it all the time. Not so much on purpose, probably, as because we don't know any better for that moment or forget. Perhaps the reason we can keep going despite being hurt by our own beloved community is because deep down we know that we are as fallible as the one who has hurt us. Because deep down we need this kind of community more than we know and more than we can say. Somehow our trust in the goodness of the community outweighs the hurts. Humans are promise-breaking creatures, whether promises to ourselves to exercise more or lose weight, or promises to our loved ones to clean up our act. We sometimes cannot help ourselves. We break promises out of sheer forgetfulness or poorly ordered priorities and ignorance, and for motives we ourselves cannot admire. Whatever the reason, the negative consequences can be real. Kalapiluit do exist. So our worship services need to have time for reflection on our own failures and mistakes, that we might be reminded of our higher selves, that we might be provoked to turn again toward the ways of love and do better tomorrow. Such topics as forgiveness or atonement are more challenging than they appear on the surface because of that. They require more reflection than the easy consideration of an idea new and untried that, oh, I have to think about that one. It's true, this can be a setup. Abused women, whether physically or emotionally abused, get caught in this trap all the time. My hope, my faith, is that a community like Beacon would have enough healthy members to help us move beyond a setup. I know it takes faith. We need each other. We need to be needed. One of the losses of growing older is the growing inability to not only take care of oneself, but the inability to help others. Another is when we are unable to participate in church as we used to do, whether on all those committees that meant I got to know so many people, or in the choir, or whatever else. It is a loss. It takes grieving and mourning to adapt to a new circumstance and a new role in the community. Such are the ways of being faithful to our church. Living within a covenanted community is not like living in a gated community. We are open to newcomers, so we have to communicate to them how we work. But it takes a special kind of openness to both convey an understanding of the nature of our community and then also to welcome in new people and their new ideas. It's almost a recipe for collusion. Collision. Yes, collusion might be better. It makes it harder to transform visitors into long-term members. Alice Blair Wesley again. We human beings are promising creatures in more than one sense. We are born with promise, potential, that we do not and cannot create, with the promise of intelligence, of appreciation, of creativity, of cooperation, and most importantly, of love. Our very capacities and capabilities are a gift to us, and I would add, a gift to congregations. John Furlong, the CEO of Vanock, reminded us that lives of great significance begin with a spark, a nudge, a gesture. Together, let us touch as many lives as we can, while we can. Let us, as John Furlong suggests, give this grand human adventure our lives, our very best. Aaron Gilmartin, one of Beacon's previous ministers, said, "Commitment is doing what I can do because I can do nothing else." Amen.